Well, where do we start? Jeepers, he's been a son and shofar of our church for how many years? 20 years. Okay, so CS is one of the old sons of the house. And God has used him powerfully and continues to use him powerfully. He's part of the apostolic team, which is the team that actually guides our entire church movement. He's the missions director. He's the church planting director. He was pastor in Stellenbosch. He was student pastor. He's been all over the place. And I think his count is probably 35, 40 countries. He's taken mission teams across the globe and been used powerfully and been invited to speak at huge events and to be involved in many, many things. He's telling me to stop, but I'm not going to. Many of the people in this church have been discipled by CS. And I'm not going to ask for a show of hands, but you know how many of you whose lives have been challenged and encouraged because of the words that CS and the belief. He's called out that glimmer of gold. He saw something in you that nobody else believed in, but he believed it because God showed him. And he has an incredible anointing to hear from the Lord. He also runs the SOS school. It continues. In fact, I could probably spend all day here, but I'm just going to continue talking until the bag comes to the front. So see us. So here is CS. A mighty, mighty, mighty man of God. And it's such a privilege and an honor to have you today. It was very last minute that CS is here this morning, but we trust that it was on the Lord's heart for him to be here. So thank you, CS, very much. We love you very, very much.
Sure, I'm humbled. I think they're talking about somebody else here, Yanni. I don't know what to say, but why don't you just turn to somebody next to you and say, you look so fresh today. I don't know why you look so fresh, especially that smile on your face. This is a nice pulpit to preach from because just look at all the chocolates. I don't know what all this is doing here. Now I've got all the ladies' attention, okay? Especially Kat's attention here from the front. Now, I just want to confess that one day when I grow up, I'm going to wear shirts like Yanni. I'm envious. I have like this. He's a very smart guy. In heaven, I'm going to wear shirts like that. The Lord is going to grant me to be so gorgeous looking like Yanni. let's just pray before I talk nonsense. That wasn't nonsense, Yanni. Father, we just thank you for your presence. We thank you, God, that this morning all we want to know is you, Lord. We want to know the power of your resurrection. We want to know the fellowship of your sufferings, Lord. We want to be conformed to the image of your son's death, Lord. And Lord, we want to come and stand behind and in Christ today, God, this morning. And we just so say, God, that we are absolutely nothing, God. There is nothing we can boast in. There's nothing we can put on the table, Lord, that remotely, Lord, makes us, Lord, can brag about something, Lord, that we have achieved. Because, Lord, when we think about the universe that you hold in the palm of your hand, Lord, that we are just like a little block, Lord. We're a little speck here on a massive, vast picture, Lord, that you see every day. But we thank you, Lord, that you love us. And we thank you that you take care of us, Lord. And that we can be called your children, Lord. We thank you for the blood of Jesus that gives us access and a freedom and a boldness to come to you. We just bless you for your faithfulness and your goodness in Jesus' name. And everybody says, amen. Okay, I'm gonna try to get right into it by just sharing a couple of thoughts. And there's lots of Stellenbosch leaders here, but I just, you know, I felt I want to do it for all of us. And thank you for the privilege to be here, Yanni and Kat. And for all of you, and Johnny, I'm always humbled when I look at people like sitting here and I think like, whoa, who am I to actually bring the word of God and people that I look up to. And but you know, in the end, it's the Word of God that changes us. It's not man's opinion. It's not what people think or what people say. I remember, and I always tell this story, when I was like 7 years old, I used to stutter and I couldn't say one sentence fully without stuttering. I actually was like five already, but then at six, I couldn't go to school because I cried too much and I stuttered too much. The people literally got so embarrassed when I had to speak that they just ran away, you know. So, and then in the end, I ran away. You know, I was on a farm. When people came to visit, I would just run away. And I went to school a year later because of that. But it's amazing when God comes into your life and God takes a nothing and He does something with that. He polishes it up. He makes it it's in its original purpose. And you begin to say, wow, you know. Because it literally felt to me like He's talking about somebody else today. Because all I can do is just say, God, You are good. Lord, You're good. You're always good. And one of the things that challenged me, and I want to challenge us with, is very simply is, I sort of thought about a message. I changed the topic early this morning. It was around about 5 o'clock when it means all or nothing. Say all or nothing. Okay. I'm one of those preachers. I don't preach to your head. I want to preach to your heart. Okay. So open up your heart because it's the heart that God wants to connect with. And one of the things that I learned from being in Pakistan and places like that, I've got a good friend, and Ivan and some of the guys were there with us. One morning he came very late because I thought it's just Africa time that makes you like wait late. You know, when they say 9 o'clock and 3 o'clock, then you're still sitting there. But it's all over the world. There's like India time and then there's Pakistani time as well, you know. But one morning we were sitting there and we were waiting. And then Pastor Kashif came in and he said, well, very simply, he had a bit of a problem. I said, well, what was your problem? He said, no, he woke up. And him and one of his friends had a bit of a big argument the previous evening. And he just realized that he can't continue the day without going and making right. Because this friend was especially angry at him. And he didn't really do something wrong. This friend just came against him and said stuff. And then he said, as he woke up the morning, he had a scripture that came to mind that popped up. It said, if your brother has got, if you bring your sacrifice to the altar and your brother has got something against you, then what you need to do is leave your sacrifice there and go and make restitution. And so what he did that morning is he rushed off to his brother and he made sure that this brother was all right and that everything was dealt with and forgiveness, because he said the previous brother that he didn't make right with died within 48 hours because of all this stuff. And because he said, just when you want to do scripture, you must do it right, you know. You mustn't like compromise on scripture, because literally there they die if you step out of being obedient to scripture. And there I learned something from him and from their lives, that every day is like so amazing. It's like a place where God, it's like a gift from God. And sometimes what we do is we miss days, we miss the weeks in our lives, we miss months because of things that would bother us or stuff or the cares of this world. And just because of one simple thing is because we don't live a consecrated life. We have not learned the ability to live in the moment, to live in the now. And I want to talk a little bit about that. In Exodus chapter 33, verse 14 to 15, there's a beautiful scripture that we quote many times. It says, and he said, my presence will go with you and I will give you rest. And then he said to him, if your presence does not go with us, do not bring us up from here. Yeah. God has promised in the Old Testament in a beautiful picture, and I just want to stick to that picture this morning of leading these group of people out of Egypt, out of slavery, into the promised land. And there was some people like Moses that understood. He said, look here, God, there's lots of things that can happen, lots of things that, you know, we can talk about. But one thing I want to ask you, Lord, that if your presence does not go with us, I don't want to be part of this. I don't want to go where you are not. Because we want you to be in our midst. And then we see this beautiful picture of the fire and the cloud by day, the fire by night. God's presence literally moving with them. They had a sign of God's presence, this beautiful picture of them moving. And the most amazing thing is that these Jews, as they moved through the wilderness for many years, sometimes just for a week they would be stuck in a place, sometimes for a day, sometimes for 3 years. Now imagine I say to you, let's move up. We're gonna travel to Gauteng, but you know, we're not gonna say how long it's gonna take. This journey. Just bring your stuff with you. And now we go, and suddenly we drive from here and we get past Worcester, and there I say, okay, I'm not gonna tell you how long we're gonna stay here. But it might take a while, it might take 10 hours, it might take 3 days, it might take 3 months, or maybe 3 years, but we're gonna stay here for a while. Do you know you're gonna stay there? Very flexible, really thinking every morning when you wake up, maybe we're gonna move on today. There's certain stuff that you're not gonna focus on, that's not gonna be important to you. Would you agree with me? You won't settle and maybe build a house there, because halfway through the house is, you know, you're gonna leave the house and there we go on. I must tell you a story. It's quite a funny story, but I come from a small place called Caledon. Do you know where Caledon is? It's close to Hermanus on that way, okay? But it's we farm there, and like really with rural communities, I know it's not like that in Franschhoek. You are like civilized, and you know, there's the Morley's close and all that stuff. But so what happened one night is a neighbor phoned my parents, and when you have a conservative family or a background, people are very conservative. The Afrikaanse word part van 'n bietjie eng, okay, bietjie konservatief. And one of the neighbors phoned my parents and said, look here, there's big problems. There's massive problems. There's a UFO that is coming into the valley. So my dad, he didn't know the law then, and so everybody's like a bit tense and everybody's very conservative. So my dad went out and he said, as he looked up in the sky, there was like lights, there was stuff, something coming through the clouds. And so he ran in and he told my mom, look here, there's trouble. There's something flying above the thing. And now you must obviously know, especially the older people, they went ballistic. You know, one of the tannies went, she got into a cupboard with a gun. And she was, it wasn't cell phones then when that happened, but she was sitting with a gun and she said, they're not going to beam her up, you know, like beam me up, Scotty, you know, that one, you know, so, and the other people that it was like some of the people on the farm, working on the farm, put on their white robes, and they thought it's the second coming, and, you know, they repented of all their sins, and it was like a great repentance practice for the whole valley, you know. And so this went on for 2 or 3 hours. Then all the farmers got together. They, you know, clubbed together because they literally saw this massive thing with these round lights going on in the clouds, you know, and they thought that, like, something weird is happening. After about 3 hours, they found out that it was the Caledon Casino that opened up, and the, you know. And so what happened in the valley is the lights reflected from there onto the clouds and then into the valley where they were staying. So there was like these clouds and all this stuff. It was a new casino that opened up, you know. So just shake somebody next to you and say, don't beam me up, Scotty. Okay, just saying like that, okay. And the reason why I'm telling that story is simply because, you know, we live our lives so with our feet and so cemented in this world. And God says, if we want to live with His presence, if we want to know the joy of knowing Him, we're going to need to uproot some stuff, okay? We're going to need to let go of certain stuff that is to us that we find our value and our stuff in. Because the presence of God, if you understand God's presence is your most valuable thing that you can have, if I can call it a thing, the most amazing thing for you and me as a Christian is the fact that God can speak to us. The fact that you can hear this almighty God's voice. I want to read you another scripture in Psalm 16. David says, and you will show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. Say, pleasures forevermore. You see, knowing God and coming to that place where you're desperate for His presence. And that's one of the things I've discovered, especially with the persecuted church, is... they just so value knowing God. I think I've told this story maybe here before, but being a couple of years ago, meeting a group of people from China, in the heartland of China, that were really persecuted, meeting them, I had 3 hours on Joburg's airport, you know. We were standing there, and they came, I phoned them, because they were doctors, and they came over here for training, all secretly underground people, and not supposed to, you know, you can't worship freely there where they came from. And so I phoned the doctor in China, and I said to him, look here, how am I going to recognize you when you come, you know? He said, don't worry, you'll recognize us. And I thought, okay, that's not wonderful. So now I'm standing there at the international departures. He was in Cape, they were in Joburg already, and they were going to fly back. So I had 3 hours before they fly back. So yeah, I stand. Now I'm thinking, now, how am I going to see these short people? Because I'm short, you know, and they're short, and it's like, and the next moment, I just heard this worship music, you know. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, whatever. I can't remember what the words was, but here comes this group of bandit people together coming out, and they worshiping, you know. They're walking up there. They're just out there worshiping, and they're saying, Lord, thank you, God. And then they go on, and I'm sort of a bit embarrassed, you know. I'm thinking like, yes, people, this is like, wow, you know. So now before they need to check in, and so now they, what they do is they say, no. In our country, you can't do what we're doing right here. I tell you, we're going to worship right here, but we're going to sit on our knees. So now we go on our knees, and they've got all these flags, all these like stuff, and now they're waving the flags, and we're sitting there. All the people are passing by, and we're just like worshiping and praying. And you know, it took me like 10 minutes to get into it, but then I really enjoyed it, because then I prayed for me, then I prayed for them, then I prayed for me, then I prayed for them. And then I said, look here, guys, this is you're going to be late for your plane. They said, no, we're enjoying the freedom so much. God is in this place. You know, now we had a whole worship session. Now they started to march like the one song they sang was Onward Christian Soldiers. Now they march up and down. And I'm just thinking like scary people, yeah. but then I realized, you know, that they haven't got a sock. They don't actually care what these people think, because there's such a freedom to worship God. Yeah. Such a freedom with the presence of God, the freedom to proclaim his name, you know, in public. It really humbled me. I want us to go to a scripture in Revelation chapter 13, which is quite a challenging one. God says, I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot. I could wish you were cold or hot. So then because you are lukewarm, and there's a guy called Luke here with us. It's got nothing to do with him. And nothing cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth. Because you say, I am rich, have become wealthy, and have need of nothing. Be very careful when we come to a place like that. When you say, I am rich, I've arrived, I'm a somebody. The moment when you think and I think we're a somebody, we're deceived. God says, very simply, if you don't realize who you are and who I am, there can be no fullness. He says, well, very simply, because then you're in the middle. You're not hot, nor are you cold. You're in the middle. God says, rather be cold, rather enjoy your sin and enjoy all that stuff, but don't be in between. Don't pretend that you're somebody and that your life is in order. Don't be an actor. You know, that was the word hypocrite in the New Testament. A hypocrite was somebody that was an actor. It was somebody that lived two lives. On the one side, he lived a life at home, and then he would come out on the public arena and he would act out a movie or something, you know? And Jesus said, the one people that I cannot work with are hypocrites. You pretend to be somebody else, and you're not real. You're fake. Now, when you go to China, you get the real fake and the genuine fake and the real thing, you know. I once went there to a CD shop. I'll never forget it. You know, the guy said to me, this is a genuine fake. And I said to him, like, a genuine fake, you know. He says, yes, you get a fake that you buy on the black market, but this is a genuine fake. And I thought, oh, the price is nice, you know. It's like, oh, really, you know, because they're even the DVDs, they're everything's like genuine fakes, you know. But let's focus on the scripture. And listen to what God says. And do you not know that you are rich, miserable, poor, blind, and naked? I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire, that you may be rich, and white garments, that you may be clothed, that the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed, and anoint your eyes with eye salve, that you may see. You know, now, normally when we read a scripture like that, we feel like condemned, we feel like, oh, you know, I must now be like a worm. Now, scripture says very simply, it's the second part that we must actually focus on to understand the first part. Simply, God says, what I have for you and what I want to give to you when it comes to my presence and my fullness of life, is very simply, I want you to see. I don't want you to go through this life blinded and trapped in fear. And you know, we are so surrounded. I think all of us have been shocked by just the news this week, you know. One of our heroes shooting his girlfriend. Now, we don't know the surroundings and we can't make a judgment what has happened. But, you know, it's amazing. And I'm going to say there's something, I learned this from Reinhard Bonnke. He said it one day to me. He says, as soon as people, those people that put you on a pedestal, they will pluck you from it very quickly. The only one that's allowed to be on a pedestal in your life is Jesus Christ, in my life, where he becomes our everything. And we say to him, God, I'm actually rich, I'm poor, I'm naked, but all I know, God, is when I come to you, I don't have money, but I want to buy gold that's refined. I want to come to the place, Lord, where you clothe me with white garments. I want to come to the place, Lord, where I can truly say that I've seen God. I've known God. I know him. And when we come to that place, there's such a freedom in our lives to be free from the things around us, because this little Israel group of people that went through the wilderness, they didn't know when they're going to need to pick up their stuff and go tomorrow, or where they would stay there for 3 years. And that's the life. It's such a beautiful picture of how we should live, free from the things of this world, free from stuff that bog us down. Are you with me? Thank you for your enthusiasm. Okay. Just shake somebody next to you and say, you're still looking good today. You're still looking fine, fresh. So to be able to know the presence of God like that, did you know that the Jews, as they traveled through the wilderness, not one of them got sick? Did you know that? Not one of them got sick at all. Not their clothes did not wear out in all of those years as they traveled through the wilderness. Even when they went through the circles around and around and around, and which was quite easier for them just to quickly go through the wilderness, God supernaturally, because of his presence with them, they were healed. They walked in complete healing. They walked in complete freedom. They walked in such a protection that their clothes did not wear out. So there was no moles in the wilderness. Sorry if you thought like that, you know. Just very simply, there was such a favor on their lives, because why? They were always looking to the promised land. They always had that. Now, I want us to go quickly to God's promise and what God wanted from the start with these people. In Exodus chapter 19, we're going to read two scriptures there. And Moses went up, verse 3. And Moses went up to God, and the Lord called him from the mountain, saying, thus you shall say to the house of Jacob and tell the children of Israel, you have seen what I did to the Egyptians and how I bore you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. God's intention with bringing out the Jews from the start out of Egypt was not so much to set them free from Egypt. It was simply to have a meeting place with him. He says, look at what I did. Look how I delivered you out of Egypt, out of slavery. For some of us, we all have stories of how we came out of the world, how God rescued us. But he said, do you know what? I bore you on eagle's wings. I brought you to myself because I want to have a meeting place with you. I want you to know me. I want you to come into that place. And that's where God wanted to speak to them directly. But listen to this in verse 5. Now, therefore, if indeed you will obey my voice and keep my covenant, then you shall be a special treasure to me above all people, for all the earth is mine. And you shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. God had a plan for this nation, and he wanted them to be a priestly nation for the other nations. God didn't want the Jews to like be special above that. He wanted to redeem all the nations. But he said, look here, I want you to come to me. I want you to know my heart. I want you to bring yourself to me. Moses, bring these people to the mountain, and then I'm going to meet with them face to face. Now, we all know what happened there. You know, God tells them, come up, let's have this interaction. Let's talk to each other. And I want us to read here, and we're going to come back to this priesthood thing. But in Exodus chapter 9, verse 10, then the Lord said to Moses, go to the people and sanctify them today and tomorrow, and let them wash their clothes, and let them be ready for the third day. For on the third day, the Lord will come down on Mount Sinai in the sight of all the people. So God said, if you want to come to me, if you want to know my presence, and this is something that we... especially in the charismatic church, we must really watch out for is a word called familiarity. We become very casual with the things of God. And then because we are casual with these things, because we become casual with Scripture, because we take everything just for granted and we say, well, you know, that's why I'm telling you the story of China and I'm telling you the story of Pakistan, how people live in the world today, how Christians live that are persecuted. They live with such a reverence for the Word of God and such a reverence for the presence, because you cannot go to the mountain and just say, well, I'm going to have a happy time. No, God sets out a boundary and He sets out certain rules and He says, if you want to come to me, sanctify these people, Moses, because they're gonna get into trouble if they come on the wrong side, you know. And we have to talk to each other about that, about when we come to the presence of God, it's like you going to the president of the nations. I said to the leaders here that if we go and make an appointment with the president of the nation, if you come with your help may stack like MP, your T-shirt, and you come from the beach and you walk in there like Mr. Bean, you know, the first God in front is just going to say to you, what on earth, you know? Go and dress yourself properly, you know. Because why in the natural we have respect for people that are in the office. Some African nations, when you stop there, you know, if you don't stop quick enough when they drive in the main road, they're going to shoot you, you know. Because everybody, especially in the African cultures, people have got this respect for leaders. And yet in the West, because of our bad attitude and our humanistic way of thinking, we don't have respect for God. And then what happens is the fear of God goes out of our lives. And so from the word go, if we want to have the presence of God, we need to live consecrated lives. We need to live lives yielded to the Holy Spirit and to His ways. We need to say to God, God, I want to know You, but I want to come to the place, Lord, where everything inside of me, Lord, is there for one purpose, is to worship You and to have Your presence in my life. You know, and I love this about God. You know, He sends His Holy Spirit to us, but the Holy Spirit is a gentleman. The Holy Spirit only comes upon invitation, only when you and I acknowledge Him. And we have this idea that, you know, I spoke to a guy last week, and this guy said to me, yeah, he's just praying that God's fire will fall on him and God will open up the heavens and the Holy Spirit will fall down. And I said to him, I want to tell you a little story. And I'm going to tell you that same story. And I was standing the day before a massive crusade in Lagos in Nigeria. And we had this Pastor Reinhard Bunker. How many of you know have heard of Reinhard Bunker? Okay, he's like an evangelist. He does big things in Africa. And so what happened is he said, and I had a group of five people there, and so we were ready, and I was like sort of almost worshiping the man a little bit, idolizing, you know, thinking like, whoa, I'm in his presence. Whoa, this is like amazing, yeah? And I'll never forget, it was one of the most humbling moments of my life, but one of the most life-changing moments, you know? So I'm standing there, and he says to me, Brother Sias, will you pray for us before we go out to this big crusade? So now I'm thinking like, whoa, me pray. So now I'm thinking through all my Bible school notes. I'm going, you know, I'm really going to draw it there from, you know, I'm going to bring it out. So I'm being an actor a little bit, you know. So I'm thinking like, okay, here we go. So, Lord, thank You for Your fire. Because I'm thinking, I'd watch some of His DVDs and how He speak and how He releases authority. So now I'm gonna like copy, you know. So I'm thinking like, I'm standing there, Lord, bring Your fire. Lord, Holy Spirit, fall on us today. Lord, and I'm going on. And in a halfway through my prayer, when Reinhard says the following, no, we don't pray like that. And I'm thinking, is he talking to me? Is he, what's he saying? So now I'm silent. He interrupts my prayer halfway through the prayer. He says, we don't pray like that. God is with us. We don't pray that the Holy Spirit falls. Start over again, he says. So now I'm thinking, Bible school 2, Bible school 3. You know, if you're in trouble like that, all you do is, Lord, save me. Lord, let Your second coming come right now, yeah? I don't want to be alive after this prayer. But it was just such a moment for me. It was like this, you know, this fear of God just came all over me because of somebody that respected the presence of God. Somebody that knew that we don't play around with the things of God. God is holy. God is almighty. God, you know, he's our Father. He loves us so much, but we need to have respect for him. And I learned something there because that night we went out. It's a story that I love to tell, you know. And Reinhard had a little piece of paper like this, and there were almost 1 million people standing in front of us on this massive crusade. And so what he started to do is he just started to read. He said, "The following people will be healed right now." Paralyzed people, stand up and walk. That was just like what he did. And I'm thinking like, the next moment in the crowd, I tell you, I feel the hand of God coming over that crowd from the one side. And the wheelchairs begin to pop up. And the people begin to shout in pockets as the crutches begin to pop up. But it's literally God's hand moves over this massive crowd. And wherever this hand goes, the wheelchairs just pop up. And it goes right to the inn. Then Umbrana goes, "Tuberculosis, be healed in Jesus' name." And then the same happened. Somebody that has respect for the presence of God. Somebody that understands that God is powerful, God is holy, God can save and he heals. But somebody that's not familiar. And I remember that just before we drove there, we were all standing there in the army. And now it's northern Nigeria. We're going from Lagos to Ikorun and Ibadan, right in the north, where all the people get killed, you know. I stand there the one morning and I was thinking like, what on earth, you know, we're waiting so long. So now we wait for an hour for Reinhard, you know, because he's going to a fire conference. And then one of the guards just walk over to us and he says, "Look here, you will not come out of that place with God, praying and worshiping God until God gives him the go-ahead. So we'll wait." And then we stand there and we're talking to the army guys and all that stuff. And the next moment I just feel God's presence on him. As he walks on in the third story, come down in the lift. I can't see him, but all I realize is God's manifest presence comes with a man. I've never felt it like I felt it that day. But then I realized because somebody understands scripture and somebody understands the presence of God. God is with us. And do you know God is here this morning? We don't need to psych him up. God is not a little light switch that we put on when we come to church. God hasn't got an on and off button. God is alive. And the only limitation to God is simply what we do in our hearts and whether we open up our hearts for him or not. Whether we live a consecrated life. And that's why people, when we come to church, we have to pray. Come praying up to church. Don't expect something to happen here. Come ready for church. When you go to a small group, you pray before the time. You say, "God, what blessing can I be to these people? Lord, thank you that you are there. But Lord, I need to prepare myself." That's what prayer does. Prayer doesn't change God, it changes us. But there's an urgency that's lacking. Why? Because we're familiar with the things of God. We play around and we play the fool and then we think like God does some magic sometimes. God is into no magic. God has got a plan and you and I can move and we can be part of that plan. But we need to consecrate ourselves. Turn to someone next to you and say, "He's finishing almost as you consecrate yourself to God." Okay, they've closed the doors. Kat just told me they've closed the doors at the back. We'll be finished at 3 today. Okay. Your chicken is going to burn. Okay. But rather, yeah, okay, cool. But in any case, so living with an urgency, living with a consecrated life. Can I tell you another story? Okay, and there's just 5 people in front. The rest of you think about something else, okay? How many of you want to hear another story? Okay. Okay, cool. Thank you. Thank you for enthusiasm because otherwise I'm just preaching at Luke. Okay, but so, don't be lukewarm, eh? Don't be lukewarm. Okay, so very simply, I'll never forget this. One of these principles that changed my life, you know, we were driving down from Malawi in the north of Malawi. We're coming down and I was a bit out of my league because it was 1995. It was the first mission team I led and I was 19 years old and everybody on the team was much older than me, okay? The oldest person was, I think, 38 years of age, and I was the youngest. And I remember God speaking to me a couple of times about leading this team. Now, how it worked is there was the church had a student committee, and the student committee basically ran everything on campus and all the missions and all the outreaches. And I was sort of heading up the outreaches and the missions department, which there was only like me, but that it felt big, okay? So I had to organize now this first mission trip up to Malawi. I was a bit on a mission, but I didn't have a clue really before that. But now I need to organize this. So I go to Pastor Fred and I say to him, like for 2 months, I say to him, Pastor Fred, you know what? I'm organizing this, but I'm not going with on this mission. So here's all the list. So I printed out all the names. I gave it to him. Every meeting, I gave it to him. I said, you need to choose a leader, because lots of the people, even on the team, I looked up to them, you know. So I was like thinking like, whoa, they're the spiritual people, you know. I'm sort of just like organizing this thing. And that was one of the reasons I didn't want to go on it, because I felt a bit spiritually inferior to all of these other people, you know. So, and I had all these excuses. So God started to speak to me and he said, no, you must go on the mission. And then, you know, I just like, get behind me, you know. I was trying to tell God what he shouldn't do and how he shouldn't. But it's amazing how God speaks to you, you know. You can ask him, Johnny, when they went to Russia, you know, I always remember their story. There's, you know, God speaks to you, but you ignore him completely. And then he has just this, like, he just goes like, I can just see him smile, you know. I can just see him smile. He says, okay, round two. We're going to go for round two. After round two, I ignored God flat again, you know. I think we went to round 30 almost, you know. So now the mission is, we're busy preparing this mission and everybody's going and the trip is being organized. And I go to Fred. I say, Fred, please, you have to choose somebody. Here's the list, but today. And then he just looked up and he said to me, you. I said to him, I said this to him, I said, you deceived. You don't know what you're talking about. And he said, no, God spoke to him. I must lead the mission. I said to him, do you know that I'm the youngest? Do you know that I've got the least experience of all these people? So I went through my list because I worked it out before the time. I knew God is going to trick me because I told those things in my head to God. I didn't speak it verbally because, you know. And after my make a long story short, 2 months later, yeah, I am the leader on this mission trip. So I was a bit out of my league and I just realized, you know, and I'll never forget it, that a group of the elders came around me that one day and they prayed and they said, God, thank you. We consecrate this man for your purposes. We consecrate him to your purposes and for your purposes. And just through that one prayer, something changed. Something inside of me changed as just the way that I saw myself. But I learned a couple of lessons. So we came down from Malawi. We were in Lilongwe. So I'm the leader. Everybody's in a rush. We need to get through to the border. And so, yeah, and the Lord told me he's going to teach me what it means to live a consecrated life. Because now we've got an hour. I must go and throw petrol into the combi. We had two combis. And so I say, look, yeah, we're going to do that. While the rest of you go do some shopping, you know. So the rest of the team, they went there on the market. Bought these beautiful things, all this stuff, you know, and got into the bus, and now we're driving. Within 30 minutes, the whole team, 22 of the team members, including myself, got sick, but intensely sick. My nose started to run. I started to cough. It was just like, I was thinking, what on earth is going on? Within an hour, I had intense fever and malaria. I was starting to sweat, you know. So now we going to this little place there in the Lilongwe, we stopped there. We wanted some sleep there next to the road. That night, I didn't sleep anything. It took me like 2.5 hours to get to the toilet that was 60 meters from where we were, you know, the public toilet. So I was quite sick. I was quite miff, Afrikaans says, in my kas, okay? So in the middle of that, you know, and when all else fails, I've got one rule for you. Just scripture says, call on the name of the Lord and you shall be saved. When all else fails, just do that, okay? Just remember that. That's a tip for life, yeah? Just say, Jesus, save me from this hour, okay? That's just a good tip for you. So that's what I did. And then the Lord showed me that these things that we bought all were consecrated to idols and to witchcraft. And 3 o'clock, that was about 3:30, I woke up the whole team. I said, I know we're all sick, but we're going to burn that stuff now. You should have seen the reaction. I never thought that 22 people can be so rebellious. But you know what? We burned those things. You know, we made this massive bonfire, 4 o'clock in the morning. Within 5 minutes, everybody was healed. Like, yeah? And the Lord said, I'm going to teach you what it means to live a consecrated life. So from that moment on, I just started to say to God, God, every moment, I'm going to live a life dedicated to you. I want your Holy Spirit. I want your presence in my life. I want to live a yielded life to you. You know, that's why Scripture says in Ephesians 5, it says, do not be drunk with wine, which is dissipation, but be filled, be continually filled with the Holy Spirit. And then it says the result of that is speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Always, through all things, give thanks to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. He says, always, in all things. There's some scriptures that we can't ignore. It says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, let your requests be made known to God. And through prayer and supplication and with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And then the peace of God that surpasses all understanding will guard your heart and your mind. Now, the Greek word for nothing is a very deep word. It simply means nothing. Be anxious for nothing if you're from China. Nothing if you're from England. But it doesn't matter how you pronounce it. Nothing means nothing. Have you thought about that? Be anxious for nothing, Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 and 7. But through everything. So there's a place where God wants us to live a consecrated life to Him, a yieldedness to Him. And it has absolutes in it. It says in everything, nothing, always. Behold, I will always be with you. See, with God, there's no in-between when it comes to these things. And so when we start to live that life, God begins to say to us, and I want to end off with Revelation 3, the last part, because we always read the first part of that scripture. It says, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten, therefore be zealous and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in to him and dine with him and he with me. To him who overcomes, I will grant to sit with me on my throne as I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. You know, we always quote this scripture for unbelievers, people that don't know God. But scripture says it's Jesus standing outside the door of a church that is lukewarm. And he says, I'm knocking. It's not to unbelievers. He says, I'm knocking. And I want to come in. But when I come in, I'm going to teach you what it means to sit with me at the table and dine with me. And I'm going to eat with you and you're going to eat with me. And then he says, what you're going to eat, the result of that eating is going to be the ability to overcome, the ability to know. He says, I'm going to grant you the ability to overcome. I'm going to give to you what man cannot give to you. But he says, I'm knocking. Because I want to come in. But every day you need to open the door. Every day you need to draw near to me, then I will draw near to you. The ball is in your court. You need to make the choice. I need to make the choice to open up our hearts to live a consecrated life. And you know, so many of us, we have been conditioned to live for the weekend. We have been conditioned to live for our pleasures. We have been conditioned to live for our holidays at the end of the year. And you know, there's absolutely nothing wrong with that, but you're going to miss 340 days of the year if you live for the last 20 at the end of the year. God wants to raise up a priestly generation, a holy nation, that will travel with His glory cloud, with His fire, and they will know His presence. And so that's when you go then to the shop. Do you know what begins to happen? Is you expect God's presence because God is with you. You begin to see how God moves. I've seen in the last 3 or 4 years in my life, because I never grasped this really. You know, I was always thinking like, yeah, I never learned to live in the moment, in God's kingdom, in the now, taking those kairos moments, because I always lived like, when God is going to one day give me a breakthrough, then I'm going to serve Him. Or when I 10 years ago went to India and God did so many miracles. Now God is here today. And when we grasp that, when we live a consecrated with that urgency, then we understand the fear of God, but we also understand that God wants a yieldedness. God wants a holy people, a holy nation that yield to Him all the time. Where we say, God, the only thing that I live for is to please You. You cannot live to please man. Man will disappoint you. Man will do stuff. Man will offend you. But when you live to please God, some stuff begins to change. You live life in fifth gear. You live life in overdrive. Now I want to challenge us today, because maybe you standing here and you've never overcome. That's the invitation. God says, come, I want to come in. But you're going to need to give me that area of your heart. You're going to need to consecrate your heart. You're going to need to consecrate your life. You can't just come to church and consecrate church. You have to, your workplace, when you're driving your car, when you go to work, when you talk on the telephone, everything you do, start to consecrate it. In everything, give thanks, Scripture says. In everything. And that's where we start, by thanksgiving. So I want us to stand today. I thank you for your patience. You see, when we live a life with hearts open towards God, and when we start to consecrate our lives, there's one little big challenge, and that is to give up control. You see, because if you're going to travel through the wilderness, if you're going to go through a place where you don't understand, our first thing that we want to do as believers is we want to have control. We want to be in charge. And then through that place from being in charge, we tell God what He must do. Then we say, okay, God, now that I'm in charge, what I want to do is I'm going to tell You how You can do it and how You should do it. And that challenge is a challenge for all of us, especially in the Western mindset, is because we want to organize our lives, and there's nothing wrong with that. We want to administrate our relationship with God. We want to manage our outcomes. But when I read Scripture, I look at a group of people that were not in control. I look at a group of people and individuals that God chose to come and come to Him. That was quite scary. And the only way they could access that life with God was a life of faith, a life of surrender, a life of trust. And it's difficult for us to trust because we get hurt through relationships around us. It's difficult for us to let go. Why? Because then what we do is we in control and we can manage how things should happen. But I believe God wants us today open up our hearts. Open that door completely and say, okay, Lord, I really haven't got a clue. I'm nothing here. I don't know, but I want to please You. I want to have Your presence in my life. I want to know You. I want to do it Your way. Lord, I repent of being familiar and trying to tell You what You must do and how You must do it. But Lord, Holy Spirit, I want Your fullness to manifest in my life. Because Scripture says when we come together, then each one has a psalm. Each one has something to give. Everyone. The result of being filled with the Holy Spirit means there are songs and hymns and spiritual songs and melody in our hearts and thanksgiving. But when I look to most charismatic Christians, I have to be very, very honest, we're quite a bunch of bitter, critical, negative people. We're not spiritual. Why? Because we're in control. And God wants us to give up control. I don't know what that means for you, but it means a lot to me. And it challenges me a lot. Because God has been saying over the last couple of months just to me, give up control. And I say, God, I don't know what that means. And He says, you're not supposed to. Just give up control. And I say, God, I don't know. Because then He says, no, you want to be in control by trying to give up control in your way. I say, Lord, I don't know what that means. And He says, just give up control. Do you trust me? Do you trust me? Do you trust me? Do you trust me? Father, this morning, we're not here, Lord, to play a religious game. We're not here, Lord, to be nice to each other and say nice words and compliment each other, Lord. We love the fellowship. We love the coming together. We love our relationships, Father. But But this morning we come to you because we realize, Lord, you want to meet with us. You want us to be your treasure. You want us, Lord, to be a holy priesthood, a nation that can stand before you, Lord, while our nation is going down, Lord. We can stand before you and be priests to the Most High God. Lord, we repent that we have neglected your fear and we've, Lord, become familiar in so many ways, in our relationships with each other, in our marriages, with our children. Lord, we just assume the right, Lord, to do certain things without first consecrating ourselves to you, yielding ourselves, listening to what you want to say, Lord, and then being obedient to that. But this morning we thank you, Lord, that you want to circumcise our hearts again, Lord, to that place where we can be obedient to you alone. Well, Lord, we want to say like Jesus, my food is to do the will of my Father and to finish his work. Well, every day, Lord, our food will become to do your will, to finish your work, Lord, to be obedient to your call on our lives. I'm going to ask you today very boldly, if you're here and you don't know Jesus or you are backslidden, you've walked away from him, and you need to come back to your first love. You need to come back to that place of where he's your number one and there's no number two. You need to bring your heart to him again and say, God, I even realized that I've done it the wrong way around. Lord, I've messed up. But Lord, in the process, I tried to save myself. And you need to come back to him. You need to come back to that place where you just experience God's complete forgiveness. Then God says to you today, he wants to save you. Because that's what Jesus has come to do. Maybe there's one person, maybe there's nobody. But we cannot but give you an invitation because that Jesus is here right now. And he wants to save people. He wants to deliver people. If there's anybody like that, I want you to be very bold and just lift up your hand because I want to pray with you today. Anybody that needs to come to Christ today, or you need to come back to Christ today, and you need to say to him, God, here I am. I surrender my life again to you. Lord, I've messed up, but I thank you for your forgiveness. Is there anybody like that? I want you to raise your hand very high because you're the most important person here today. Anybody that needs to recommit their lives to Jesus Christ, you need to surrender your life. I want you to raise your hand very high if that's you. So we don't want to go out here without you knowing him. Coming to that place of surrendering your heart to him so that he can give you a new heart. Is there anybody like that? I'm going to prolong it just for another 30 seconds or so because I want every believer in this place, I want you to pray. I want you to, because there's a war going on. There's a specific lady here today, you feel so ashamed of what you've done and what has been done to you. And you know God, but just God is such a distance from you at the moment. That's what it feels to you because of all these walls that has been built between you and God. And God wants to break down those walls today so that you can know that he's for you. And if he's for you, who can be against you? He wants to protect you. He wants to provide for you. But you're going to need to let him in. You're going to need to invite him. Is there anybody like that today? I want you to raise your hand very high and say, that's me, because we want to just pray with you. We don't want to put you on the spot. We just want to say, here we are, God. We're nothing, and you're everything. Today we surrender everything to you. Thank you. Is there anybody else? I just feel there's a war. I'm prolonging. I just want to be obedient to God. There's a war going on for some people's souls here today. You just feel so intensely, you know, and I don't care whether you're a pastor or whether you're a zone leader, whatever. If our relationship with Jesus is not in the right place, if he's not our first love, then church, everything else must become secondary. It's secondary. Our relationships on this earth is secondary to knowing him and to having a clear conscience before him. Because today he wants to wash you clean. He wants to give you a new life. He wants to just assure you of that salvation. Thank you. Thank you. Is there anybody else that God is speaking to today? And maybe there's a massive war going on in your heart, but the Lord says, come to me and I will give you a new life. Thank you. Is there anybody else? Because we don't want to go out here without you knowing him. Not with being religious, just that place where you're washed clean by the blood of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. I'm going to ask those people that raised their hands, I'm going to ask you to come to the front because I want to pray with you. Just boldly. I know it's going to take some boldness. But why don't you just come right to the front, because it doesn't matter what you've done wrong. When we repent and we turn back to God, God comes and He gives us a new life. Why don't you just come? All those people that raised their hands, why don't you just quickly come? Father, we thank You. Thank You that You draw. Thank You, Holy Spirit, that You convict and that You bring life, God. We just thank You for Your life, God. Hallelujah. There was somebody else there at the back. I don't want to put pressure on you, but if you're a bit shy, just take somebody's hand and we'll come. We'll even come and fetch you at the back if you want to. Okay, I want us to just pray a simple prayer with these people today. And maybe you want to pray it out of your own heart. Lord Jesus, today I surrender my life to You. Please forgive my sins, Lord, and wash me clean from all unrighteousness so that I can live for You and that I can know You. I repent of my sins. I turn away from them, Lord. But I pray today that You will change my heart, change my nature so that I can know You. I surrender all to You, Jesus. I thank You, Lord, for Your life. I thank You for Your resurrection and also Your death. Today, I want to know You. Teach me, Lord, what it means to follow You with all of my heart and to love You with all of my soul, my mind, my will, and my emotions. I thank You, God, for that life in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Lord, we just worship You today. Let's just give God a shout in this place. Hallelujah, God. Hallelujah, Jesus! The second group, we're going to pray for these people. But the second group of people is, there's a massive, massive thing of shame on your life. And when I share that story of how I was chosen to be like the missions leader, you can identify with that, because in the natural, emotionally, spiritually, that's exactly how you feel. You always bring excuses to God, because it's actually a worth thing. It's actually a value, that the fact that you think that God will never choose you. And you know what? We need to pray for you today that shame will break over your life, so that you can start to live a consecrated life, that you don't care what people say, and especially people here that struggle with the fear of rejection and the fear of failure. Cycles over your life that just says, something said tells you that God is going to forsake you. You love God, but there's always failure. There's always like these cycles that just come over and over. And we're going to pray today by faith. We're going to pray a prayer of faith over your life that those cycles will break. And that you'll realize that God will choose you just because you consecrate yourself to Him. Not because you've got all the abilities. Not because you're the oldest or the greatest or the most mature. God comes to choose. And I want to say to all the zone leaders and district leaders, we're going to pray for all of the new district leaders and zone leaders up there when we're finished. We're going to anoint them. We're going to pray and say, God, thank You that if You've chosen somebody, who are we to disagree? But Lord, we want to step into that authority of living a consecrated life as a leader before You. And some of you, as Christians, you've never come to that place of just being bold in God, because the devil makes you focus always on your own issues, always on the wilderness, always on, let's go back to Egypt, let's go back to Egypt, the koorspotte van Egypte. And you know, God says, come out so that I can show you what it means to live in my presence. And if that's you, if you want to respond to that, I'm going to ask you to do something bold. I'm going to ask you to come to the front. We're going to make some space here on the stage, all over the place. But we're going to break those cycles over your life. Those cycles that tell you you're not good enough. You're not spiritual enough. And it just brings like, there's like intimidation and shame over your life and over your heart. The devil always wants to put shame on you and says, no, maybe tomorrow, maybe 3 years from now, maybe 30 years from now, you're going to be good enough for God. And that's the biggest lie. Jesus chose 12 people. And the amazing thing about that 12 people is one of them, from the beginning, Jesus knew that that man is going to deny him. But Jesus was still committed to him, still committed to all of his choices, still committed to him, although he stole lots of money. Jesus gave him the petty cash. Can you believe that? Jesus was committed to him. Why? Because it's Jesus that will do it in our lives and through our lives. And we're going to trust God, because there's some of us that has got like massive cycles that maybe God's presence is not with me, and maybe God is going to forsake me, but God is going to break those cycles over our lives. I'm going to ask some people to bring some oil. Yanni, have we got some oil? And Kat? There's a lady here, you're a bit older, and you've got massive back problems. You're in your middle back, lower, and where your blaya. You've got lots of pain, and you're struggling with back problems. Where are you? I want to pray for you. Where are you? Won't you come quickly? I want to pray for you. There's also somebody that has like middle ear infection. I haven't got a clue what that is in English. Middle ear infection. Oh, that sounds good. Where's that person? You always get, I don't know if you have actually now, but you always have these ear problems and middle ear infection stuff that comes and goes all the time, and we want to pray for you. Where's that person? I want to pray for that middle ear infection people as well. And where's the, are you the lady with the back problem? Why don't you just come and stand right in front of me? We want to pray for you. We're going to make space for the whole church to be in front, because we all would like to be in front when... There's also somebody that get muscle spasms. You get like muscle spasms, and we need to pray for you. There's maybe two people here. I don't know if there's somebody else that you also that. Why don't you just come right to the front? We're gonna pray for you. You get these muscle spasms, and God wants to heal you today.